Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Capri Global Capital Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Kanwat from Capri Global Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Inba. Hi, and good morning, everyone. This is Ravi Kanwat from Investor Relations. Thank you for dialing in to the call. We shall start with an overview on Q3 FY22 business and earnings by our MD, Mr. Rajesh Sharma. Thereafter, we shall have the Q&A. I now request Mr. Sharma to share the opening remarks.
Yeah. Good morning and hearty welcome to everyone on the call. For much of the last 2 years, discussions on earnings calls have revolved on and around the effect of COVID pandemic and the ongoing or waning COVID waves. We experienced the Delta wave in the opening 2 months of the financial year and had hoped a third wave, if it occurred, would be milder than the second wave. I am sure you are relieved just as we are on the third wave turning out to be shorter and less impactful compared to the earlier 2 waves. In the 10 states and union territories where we operate our MSME retail and construction finance business, active COVID cases have continued to register a steep drop and fresh infections have also declined sharply. The state governments have also announced an end to the restrictions put in place at the start of the third wave. With this, daily activities have fast returned to normalcy. At Capri, we tackled the third wave in the 6-week period between the last week of December 21 to first week of Feb 22 through a flexible work plan with the mandated work from home and need-based work from office. Our field sales operations were barely disrupted, and business in the month of Jan and Feb 22 indicates we are continuing to maintain the momentum and on the track to deliver over 22% year-on-year growth in the AUM in FY 22. As you are aware, the board of Capri Global approved the Q3 FY 22 results on Saturday, 12 February 2022. I hope you had an opportunity to go through the investor presentation. Let me now present a quick overview of business during the Q3 FY 22. MSME, the growth in MSME was robust with nearly 30% of incremental disbursal happening in the segment. The robust 9% sequential AUM growth is indicative of the growth potential for the portfolio in H2 FY 22. Although the segment currently contributes the highest to the restructured portfolio in NPL, we remain optimistic about new business while being watchful of legacy assets. Affordable housing, the housing finance segment has also delivered a robust growth momentum during the quarter. Although some customer segments overlap between MSME and housing finance, it is pertinent to note the salaried segment has contributed to a relatively better bounce back and recovery in the segment. As a result, the net NPAs considering aggregate ECL provisions at once again negative in this segment. Construction finance segment continued to show robust momentum. It achieved highest disbursal in 12 quarters. We therefore expect the vertical to continue in a healthy growth trajectory going forward. Asset quality remains robust with GNPA at 15 basis and net NPA negative. Though overall contribution of construction finance on AUM basis will not cross 20%. New car loan distribution business. During Q3 FY22, we expanded to 213 locations across 19 states and union territories compared to 186 locations across 15 states and union territories in Q2 FY22. Two new relationships, HDFC Bank and Bank of Baroda, were added during Q3 FY22, taking total tie-up to 5 banks. We generated rupees 550 crore new car loan disbursals for these banks during the quarter. This was 60% higher quarter on quarter. The total disbursal originated in 9-month FY22 stood at rupees 950 crores. I am happy to share this business broken even in October 2021. Co-lending model. In December 2021, we entered into co-lending arrangements with the State Bank of India, nation's largest commercial bank, and Union Bank of India, the 6th largest public sector bank for the co-origination of MSME loans. Under the arrangement, State Bank of India and Union Bank have initially sanctioned an aggregate amount of rupees 850 crore rupees for lending, of which CGCL shall retain 20% on its balance sheet. We have kick-started this channel and made a small start. We expect it to gain strong momentum in the next 6 months. As of now, our primary growth target for co-lending is to fully utilize the initially sanctioned amounts. New product, we are gearing up for the launch of our new secured loan product, that is gold loan. The business head has already been onboarded and people and physical infrastructure is being shaping up. We are targeting a network of 1500 branches and a loan book of rupees 8000 crore over next 5 years. New branch additions, we have regularly highlighted that our business has people and touch intensity and therefore requires a brick and mortar setup for sales and loan originations. Keeping this in mind and our medium-term goal of 225 branch network, we added 11 branches during Q3 FY22. This takes the total branch addition to 25 9-month FY22, higher than the 21 branches we added in FY20, the last pre-COVID normal year. We are presently focusing on growing our presence and businesses in Gujarat, Rajasthan, and Madhya Pradesh. Technology, the tech intensity takes over a potential customer is identified for which we use both off-the-shelf and in-house software. We have also been in the process of rolling out our analytical dashboards for adding decision-making in credit appraisal and reducing turnaround time. Our technology team has made a good progress on developing an in-house tech suite and we are looking forward to a beta rollout in the next 2 quarters. I shall now briefly comment on our earnings and asset quality performance during Q3 FY22. We reported consolidated net profit after tax of rupees 649 million in Q3 FY22, higher 24% quarter-on-quarter and 32% year-on-year. The profit growth was supported by strong core profitability and continued resilience of our P&L to accommodate higher OPEX and credit cost. Core earnings, although our spreads dropped 20 basis quarter-on-quarter to 6.7%, our net interest margin has been robust at 10.3%, driven in part by some one-off items and in part by improving mix of higher yielding portfolio. There is a widespread expectation of imminent monetary policy tightening with benchmark G-Sec yield already pointing in that direction. We are well positioned to face a tighter policy scenario. We can suitably adjust our asset yield to respond to such a change. In regard our operating expenses, the cost income ratio in Q3 FY22 at 38.4% is again within our target range of 36 to 40%. Adjusted for one-off earnings, the cost income ratio would be about 41%, marginally lower than QOQ. As we have stated, some of the pent-up expenditure branch rollout, associated hiring, and technology-related spend shall keep this ratio elevated for some time. However, we have sufficient flexibility to control incremental expenses in case we believe business scenario could get adverse. As regards asset quality ratios have improved with GNP ratio declining 27 basis quarter-on-quarter to 2.99%. Stage 3 asset in absolute terms were stable, in fact marginally lower over Q2 FY22, provisions coverage ratio has been further improved to 84.6%. If you talk about our collection efficiency, it has improved in MSME from 93.1% last quarter to 96.2% in this quarter. In home loan, it has improved from 93.8% to 98.4%. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate that our growth theme focused on secured urban retail lending is on a sound footing. It shall soon be complemented by revenue streams from recently launched and soon to be launched product. We remain committed to expanding leverage through organic route and deliver mid-teen ROE to our shareholders over medium term. With that, I conclude my opening remarks. We shall now take questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Mayank from InCred. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Thanks for the detailed discussion. Firstly, my question is on rising interest rate. Basically, I have two questions on it. Number one is that currently we are seeing a very good interest rate offering by banks to MSME. So, are you seeing any kind of pressure currently on that front? And if the interest rates rise, are we expecting the growth from banks to slow down in the MSME segment? This is my first question. And second is on interest rate side, that how would our rates increase going forward and how much more upside on yields can we see on that if the interest rates rise?
Yeah, so I think your first question is if banks are offering their customers a lower rate of interest MSME loan, how we will compete with them. Is that so?
Yeah.
So I think the customer, what banks serve in MSME and what we serve are entirely different. We serve those customers who do not have adequate income proof or documentation to avail the loan from banking system. These could be small in tier 3, tier 4 towns, maybe small mom and pop store, maybe a guy, small restaurant on the roadside, maybe a fruit vendor, maybe a small garment store who do not record all the transaction in their books. And thus they are not able to show adequate sales and profitability, and these are our customer segment. So this is absolutely entirely different than what banks serve and what we serve. Your second question is what kind of interest rate hike we can see. I think it is difficult to predict, but even though interest rate rises by 25 basis or 50 basis at the most, we are able to pass on the same kind of interest rate hikes to our customers. So any hike comes, that will be really neutral to us. As far as our customer is concerned, they are more smaller loan in the range of about 10 to 20 lakh rupees. And these businesses run on return on efforts rather than return on equity. So half a percent of marginal hike to them is not changing their profitability at all. So I think that is not going to impact us. In past also, we have seen this cycle when post ILFS and DHFL default, when bank have gone slow down and increase the interest rate, we are able to pass on and maintain the growth momentum.
Okay. So as per the new RBI circular norms for the GNP recognition, have we complied with that, and is there any additional provisioning we have made this quarter for that?
So if we talk about RBI circular, yes, we have complied with that. RBI circular was talking on the two points. Number one, you cannot roll back the NP account unless all the overdue EMIs are collected, number one. Number two, the NPA will be recognized on the very same 90th day evening rather than accounting till month end. So these were the two effect of the RBI circular. Because of the RBI circular, about six accounts have been slipped in the NPA in about 74 lakh rupees. And if had not been RBI circular come, our effort on rollback would have been seen visible in lowering the NPA much lower. But because of RBI circular, this amount have gone up. So to that extent, we have been affected.
Okay, got it. So lastly, on our restructured book, how is that performing?
So restructured book is almost about 4%, and we have done the adequate provisioning in that. As far as collection efficiency, those account is also concerned, whosoever is becoming due, there is a positive trend. And in case we see some slippage, I think there is an adequate provisioning we have done. And top of it, our entire portfolio is collateralized, secured by some real estate, either self-occupied house or self-occupied business premises. So in that sense, we can always use the SARFAESI provision and recover. So we are comfortable on that front as well.
Okay. Thanks. That was really useful. Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Akash Bhavsar from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I wanted to understand that the reason why there has been increase in the disbursements during the quarter, would there be any link in respect of changing in underwriting policy of ours, or has that remained same across the quarters?
So underwriting policy have remained the change. As we have stated earlier that we are going to aim for a growth of between 20 to 27%, and in that direction we have added more physical branches, more people on the ground, and that is a result of taking all these steps that we are able to be on the stated path of the growth, and that is absolutely as per the strategy and the budget. So it is not because of the change or relax underwriting policy, but it is because of the more addition to the branches and people in the direction it was decided.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And one last question. With respect to our restructured pool, what percentage of our pool would now be out of restructuring in terms of billing?
So in restructuring, we have given some amount of moratorium and some relaxed way of repayment. So total restructured number of account, POS is about 228 crore rupees. And I think their repayment will fall in now next 6 months, now 1 year. So we'll know that. But so far, as we have said that our restructured asset is also collateralized, and any slippage happen, we are quite capable to recover as we do for other cases also.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Srishti from Wellwind Consulting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, and thanks for giving me this opportunity. My first question would be on your home loan side. So in this business, we are seeing a great traction in the housing demand. Would this mean that significant growth would come from this business vertical? And second would be, so your annualized ROEs are over 14%. Given that we have recently started our co-lending arrangement, what sort of ROEs are we expecting in the next couple of years? And are we planning to add more banks under co-lending? And what sort of monthly disbursements are we targeting under this model?
So first, that whether the housing finance will continue to the same kind of growth, answer is yes. Home loan is a very big market, and with the increase in number of branches, I think we will continue to achieve a growth in the range of 25% plus in home loan segment. And if you talk about co-lending, I think largest bank, State Bank and Union Bank, two are adequate bank, while we are getting discussions and invites from other bank. But it would be difficult to manage more co-lending arrangements. So I think we will primarily stick with these two banks, State Bank and Union Bank, unless we believe that we can get the better commercials from other bank in competition segment. Yes, then. Now, what kind of a ROE accretive the co-lending will happen? It will depend on the volume we can achieve. So I think next year, next full financial year, we'll be able to see that based on the technology integration with the banking partners, we'll be able to see how much volume we can do. If we can go full-fledged, it can be completely game-changer. But we are waiting how this volume and technology integration happens, so it can happen very smoothly.
Okay.
So we have to wait to see actual result in the next year.
Okay. Got it, sir. Okay, that's it for now. I'll come back in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Seema Bajaj from RK Consultant. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So, sir, I wanted to ask specifically on our MSME business, which is at 51% of our overall AUM versus 56% YOY. So are we planning to take a cautious approach here? And, you know, also construction finance AUM composition have increased 200 bips in last couple of quarters. Like, I wanted to know, while we are planning to go slow here, or so would you please give a trend that the will this trend continue or not?
So our key growth driver is going to continue to remain the MSME segment and affordable housing. They will contribute 50% and affordable housing 25% plus. If you talk about construction finance, we'll continue to grow and keep it in overall book basis about 20%. And even though in some quarter it can show little bit growth, but overall on the year-on-year basis, it will remain well within 20% range, and that is, we will not let it go. Our 80% book, we want to continue to remain focused on the retail side.
Okay, okay, right. So also, like with reference to digital and technology enabling within our company, so what are we doing and, you know, how many people are working under technological front? Also, how to plan to, you know, enhance these resources? How are you planning on that?
We have already hired the CTO who is taking care of all the new technology initiative as well as the implementation of the all the planning and futuristic discussions. So about 20 people already there in technology team. Besides the normal, they are separate. There is a team which takes care of the day-to-day, which we say they take care of the hardware and other requirement. But if the hardcore technology team is concerned, there are about 20 people, which includes the engineers and programmers and coders and all that. Plus, we have about 6 people's team in the data science and analytics, which is helping us on the pinpointed decision making in terms of aligning and navigating our underwriting and other collection decisioning. We also hired one collection data analytics guy who will be focusing on the improving the collection efficiency in taking various measures. So overall, there is a very sharp focus on enhancing the tech and data science piece, and for which adequate team is already onboarded.
Okay, okay, right. So, and one last question is that in view of so many areas that we are targeting to grow, like why our guidance of 20-25% AUM growth is like still maintained? Are we sacrificing a normal growth, or, you know, have we peaked? Like, what are your opinions on that?
So I think with the current product of MSME affordable housing, we can achieve this 20-27% growth. Once the gold loan product stabilizes in the next 12 months, we will see whether we need to revise any guidance. But this much minimum we are definitely going to achieve. Last year also, we achieved 20%, and this year we already achieved only 19%. So we are on that path to achieve that growth.
Oh, okay, right, right. Thank you, sir. That was very helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Preeti Singh from Value Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Sir, I just wanted to ask about venturing into gold finance business and that we're targeting 80 billion over the next 5 years. What all geographies are we targeting when we open 1,500 branches for this business? And what would our AUM product mix look like in the next few years?
If you talk about the gold loan, if you see the majority of competition, Muthoot and Manappuram are south-based companies, while they have their presence in north and west as well. But if you see, there's a lot of scope exists in the north and western Indian markets, and also our MSME affordable housing business is also in that segment. So our gold loan branches presence is going to be in Delhi, NCR, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat and Maharashtra. And that is the area where our 1500 branches will be positioned. And we feel there's an adequate opportunity exists to create that kind of a book in this region as well as this space.
Okay. And what about the AUM product mix in the next few years?
You are talking overall or you're talking about gold loan?
Yeah, overall.
So overall, if we achieve by 2025 or 2026, we are trying to achieve a book of about 25,000 crore, and in that about 8,000 crore is going to be the gold loan. About 4,000 is going to be about 4 to 5,000 going to be construction finance, and about 9,000 crore is going to be MSME. About 4,000 crore is going to be home loan. This is what we are targeting.
Okay, thank you so much. And my next question is on the car loan distribution. What are our plans for growing this business? Like, who are we looking to tie up with, and any with more banks for growth? Any more banks for growth?
So we already tied up with the 5 banks, which include Union Bank, Bank of Baroda, Indian Overseas Bank, HDFC Bank, and Yes Bank. And this is a product where we are not lending. This is a purely using our own infrastructure and presence to generate a fee income. And you will be happy to know that we already achieved a volume of 200 crore car loan origination in the month of December. So I think this way we intend to later also add the mortgage loan co-origination as well, home loan, where the interest rate are in the range of 7.5-8% salaried customer. So this is going to be purely fee income business, leveraging our branch network, leveraging our understanding, and leveraging our association relationship with the banking.
Okay, so got it. And so out of the 15 crore fees that we've made in this quarter, what is the cost, and how will the cost increase when it scales up, and how much can we scale up?
So this business at this level, October we have broken even. I think next year onwards we'll be targeting a new car loan distribution business about 12 to 15 crore rupees of profit contribution.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my side for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and 1. Our next question is from the line of Srishti from Wellwind Consulting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking me again. My question would be, what are the economics of co-lending and what needs to be done to ramp it up? And second, how confident are we on to hold loans given that even existing lenders are struggling for growth amid huge spending by PSUs?
So if you talk about the advantage of co-lending, it will be that without capital, we can increase our book because we will be continue doing what we are doing. The only change will be that 80% book will be taken over by bank on an ongoing basis. And plus further, there are some customer segment we are not able to do it today because of the lower rate of interest. Now with the State Bank and Union Bank being our partner, we can further go down interest rate in those co-origination loans, and that can improve our productivity and offerings. So if the co-lending takes up in a full-fledged basis, then in future we will not require any capital, and it will be very highly ROE accretive. It will be easier to reach a ROE of 24-25% if the co-lending takes up full-fledged. But we are watching in the next year, and we are very confident with the focus of banking system and government that the NBFC should do the more lending towards co-lending so that everything is catered, and it is a partnership between a bank of low-cost fund versus the low-cost operation and good collection efficiency of NBFC. So it's a good combination, and we are quite excited about it. This year, we are hoping that we should do about 75 to 100 crore. And the next year, once that this technology integration happens, the volume can be much higher.
Okay, and so what happens to our NPAs in co-lending? Do we have to bear this proportionately?
Yes, so it will be true participation from the banks. But so this is 20-80 arrangement. So NP happened, 20% credit cost will come to us, 80% will go to them in the same proportion.
Okay.
And
sir,
your second question is regarding gold loan. Sorry, you are saying something?
No, sir. You continue.
Yeah, so as regards gold loan, you said there is adequate competition and even existing players is not able to grow. But I believe in northern western segment, this is our niche as far as presence is concerned. And second, we understand the customers who don't have adequate income proof. So I think with the help of technology in our presence and building a book of 8,000 crores should not be a problem in the scheme of things. The opportunity gap we see today.
Okay. And so what happens to the manpower planning and branch planning and how easy is to do this given the laid of so many people during COVID?
So I think COVID is behind us. That is what we believe. And as far as gold loan is concerned, manpower and branch planning, while few branches will be overlap with MSME, but most of the branches will be standalone gold loan branches because this is an entirely different business, different kind of customers we are catering to.
Okay. So one last question, if I may ask. So how would OPEX move over the next couple of years, given that we have plans to open so many branches?
We plan to open so many?
Branches, sir.
So I think if you talk about our capital investment, if you talk about gold loan, the first year capital investment will be in the range of about 25 crore and next FY24 will be out in the range of 60 crore rupees.
Okay. Okay, I think that's sufficient. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Sharma for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yes. So, thank you all for joining this call. As you said, we continue to grow on the path of secured lending, growing our MSME book, home loan book. And in that continuation, we added another secured, we are going to add another secured product of gold loan. And we are quite confident, as you see, year after year, our ROE is improving, our cost-to-income ratio is coming down, our NPA in the worst time of COVID have been remained in control, despite that courts have passed the order not to take any SARFAESI action, which have now been relaxed, hoping that this year, coming year, not only we will show a sharp rollback and in the NPAs, but our growth momentum will also be maintained. And we have adequate capital adequacy. We have good banking relationship. We have a strong track record of repayment. And I think collectively with this, we are on the path to achieve our stated growth of 20-27%. And we hope to achieve 14% plus ROE in the coming year along with all these developments. So thank you so much. All of you, please stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.